Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, we're looking at one of the more contentious issues facing northern Wisconsin today, Assembly Bill 464, which would speed the permitting process for iron mining and could lead to a very big, some say a $1.5 billion mine in the Pinoki Hills of Iron and Ashland counties. Advocates say it would lead to more than 1,000 good-paying, needed jobs in an economically depressed part of the state. Opponents say it would create a strip mine without proper environmental oversight that could harm a pristine natural area in the Lake Superior watershed. The debate has involved many parties, including the mining company Gogebic Taconite, also Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, Iron County and Ashland County Development Groups, the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters, the River Alliance of Wisconsin, and the Bad River Tribe. We have two regional legislators with us today who have been immersed in those arguments, pro and con, over this measure. Here in our Wisconsin Public Radio studio in Wausau, Republican Assemblyman Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst. And joining us from telephone from his home in Superior, Democratic State Senator Bob Jauch. We will be playing some sound from the recent Assembly Committee hearing on the mine in Hurley, and we'll be taking your phone calls. If you've got questions on some of the legal issues surrounding AB 426, if you feel that this is a project that's needed because good-paying jobs are needed, or if you worry that it could cause significant environmental harm, well, our lines are open to you. Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. Bob Jauch and Tom Tiffany, thanks so much for making yourself available today.
Thank you. Good evening, Tom.
Good evening, Senator, and it's good to be here, Glenn.
Well, we're going to spend virtually this entire show on the mining bill, but before we turn to the topic, I can't really ignore the elephant in the room. I want to get both of your reactions to the big news of the week, the fact that apparently more than 1 million signatures have been turned in to force a recall election involving Governor Walker. Bob Jauch, you're one of the 14 Democrats who fled the state last year in opposition to the governor's agenda. Let's start with you. How significant is 1 million signatures?
It's a big number. It's historic. It represents a very strong indication of the deep dissatisfaction by citizens from all walks of life who are deeply dissatisfied with the direction, with Governor Walker's leadership and the direction he's taking. Citizens who've never been involved in politics, tens of thousands circulated these nomination papers in bitter cold temperatures simply because they don't recognize the state they live in. They want a government that seeks compromise, not conflict, and feel that this is the only way in which they can exercise their democratic process.
Tom Tiffany, your take on the recall elections, and do you think 1 million signatures, if they turn out to actually be 1 million, do you think that will turn out to be 1 million votes?
Well, I think it's going to be real interesting to see. You said if it's 1 million signatures, we saw people signing Mickey Mouse and all the rest. I know I'm going to submit my name into the database to see if somebody used my name, and it's going to be real interesting to see if those are legitimate. You know, I think about the recall campaign against Senator Holper, and I thought that was pretty instructive. They got more than 50% more of the names that they needed to have the recall, yet Senator Holperin won 55-45, and you know, a lot of people put their names on there that probably won't vote.
So you think there's a pretty good chance that the governor will prevail in the recall election when it actually comes down the pike?
Yeah, I think there's a very good odds that the governor is going to prevail in the recall. And the thing that I'm hearing from a lot of people is they are astounded that we're going to spend more than $10 million on another election here with these recalls.
Bob, let me just add another point of view. Actually, a lot of people signed that petition because they're astounded that the state of Wisconsin is spending $3 to $5 million to require people to get voter identification cards so they can exercise their right to vote.
Bob Jauch.
So I think we need to realize that, by the way, I really think that, Tom, the more the Republicans suggest that people are signing this thing twice, three times, and Mickey Mouse is an insult to your neighbors who happen to have a different point of view than you may have on this issue. This is a grassroots effort around this state. We had 30,000 volunteers seizing government for democracy for their own. And we ought to respect that, and then the election will of the four senators, and the governor will occur sometime this year.
Let me just make one point there. I appreciate what the senator has to say there, but we deeply disagreed with Governor Doyle, deeply, and we did not try to recall him. We said every 4 years is when the elections are going to be. That's when we'll have the election.
Bob Jopp, the Democrats still don't have a candidate. Who would you like to see run against the governor?
Well, I'd really like to see Tom Barrett on the ballot again, because Tom is a healer. And more than anything, I think Tom would even have to admit that Governor Walker has polarized this state, and his leadership has badly divided people, neighbors versus neighbors, family members against family members. And if there had been an effort to seek compromise and enact the Wisconsin way, we wouldn't have this. We would have disagreements, but we wouldn't have this deep, deep division that has resulted in this million signatures. I'd like to see Tim Cullen, if Tom Barrett doesn't go in. Tim is a colleague who's been in the private sector for half of his life, and is known as a problem solver. We really need a leader at the top who brings us together, not divides us.
What do you think of Dave Obey as a choice, Bob Jouk?
Well, Dave Obey's my mentor. I admire Dave Obey a great deal, but Dave Obey's made it very clear that his choice is, he believes the best two candidates are Herb Kohl and Tom Barrett, and he's going to do everything possible to see that they would run.
Tom Tiffany, what are Republicans going to do to keep not only the governor in office, but keep your four incumbent senators in office? Because you lose one of them, and you lose the state Senate.
Oh, I think you go back and you campaign on what we ran on here, and the policies that have been put in place. First legitimately balanced budget in over a decade. I mean, a legitimately balanced budget in over a decade without raising – the Taxpayers Alliance just came out in the last week talking about property taxes are basically flat. First time in 15 years. We're going to campaign on our record, and I think that's a winning record.
Another item in the news late yesterday, the governor is turning down $37 million from the federal government to implement health care exchanges under the president's health care reform law. Tom Tiffany, was that a good idea, and do you think that'll have any impact on the recalls?
I don't know if it will or not, and I haven't studied that issue closely. I've been so immersed in mining and a couple other issues. I haven't had a chance to look at that real closely, but I can tell you that I'm opposed to Obamacare and the mandates that are going to come down from the federal level.
Bob Jouk, same question. Was it a good idea? Will it have any impact on the recalls?
Well, it's another bad idea that's consistent with Governor Walker's lack of compassion, that understanding for the thousands of families who don't have health care. His own plan going out to Washington, D.C., would take 53,000 men, women, and children, 10,000 of whom are children, off of health care. The health care bill would provide choices to people. What's amazing is that these panels simply give people good information how they can make the best decision on where their health care options are going to be. I don't know if Tom is in the state plan, but when we get a state plan, we basically get exchanges because we're able to make comparisons with different offerings under our health care plan and make the best decision that meets our needs. That's what the health care bill does, and it provides health care to every citizen in this country. I think Medicare has worked and been good, and so has Social Security, and so will the health care bill. And yes, it will have an impact because people are upset with an administration and Republican politics policies that provide millions of dollars in tax breaks for corporations and then turns around and takes working families out of health care opportunity.
Tom, you want to add anything to this? Or?
Yeah, I just say you're conflating two different issues when you throw in Medicare and Social Security. We all want to save Medicare and Social Security, and The voters said very clearly they saw Obamacare as a takeover of the medical system here in the United States last year, and they resoundingly voted against it.
And finally, before we turn to mining jobs, some disappointing job figures released for the state of Wisconsin. The state losing 3,900 private sector jobs in December. That's the sixth straight month of job losses in Wisconsin, even as the nation as a whole gained 212,000 jobs. The thing I can never seem to understand is how that correlates to our unemployment rate. We ended up dropping our unemployment rate a couple of percentage points. It's now 7.1% compared to 7.5% when the governor took office. Very quickly, Bob, if you could analyze that for me and these job figures, will that have an impact on the recall?
Wisconsin continues to be impacted by this global recession that affected job loss when Jim Doyle was governor, and it's affecting job loss when Scott Walker is governor. Governor Walker conveniently blames Democratic policies for the loss of jobs in the last 3 years, and then suggests that it's because of the national recession when he's experienced 6 months of straight job loss. What it does show is that the tax cut policy that he suggested will result in a new job creation simply has no relationship to the real economic reality. We're losing these jobs. We're not providing job training. We're cutting our educational programs to provide these workers the skills when these jobs are recreated. And a lot of his policies simply are ineffective.
Tom Tiffany, your thoughts on the loss of 3,900 private sector jobs and whether or not this bodes one way or the other for the recall elections that are underway?
Well, I think Senator Jelk was accurate in describing this as a global recession. There's no doubt about it. And this is exactly why I'm here on this program tonight, Glenn. We are talking about reforming a regulatory process here in the state of Wisconsin. We've lost all these manufacturing jobs, tens of thousands of manufacturing jobs, and they're going overseas. And what this bill is really all about that we're going to talk about tonight is Wisconsin or China. Where are we going to make things in that we consume here in Wisconsin and the United States of America? Just go to our neighbors out in North Dakota. They tapped into that Bakken oil field. Their unemployment rate is now down to 3.5%. We have extreme environmentalists who say we just can't possibly do these industrial activities anymore and largely regulate a serious problem is we're regulating these industries out of the country. We're saying we can do this in a environmentally responsible manner and still have manufacturing here in the state of Wisconsin. That's what this bill is all about.
Bob Jauch, I'd like you to hold your fire for a second. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we will come back and spend the rest of the program talking about Assembly Bill 426, the mining bill, and the proposal for a big iron mine in the Pinoki Hills in Ashland and Iron Counties. If you'd like to weigh in on that subject, 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We've got a great show today. We're talking about Assembly Bill 426, the bill that streamlines the mining permit process for iron mines. Could lead to a big and a controversial iron mine in the Pinoki Hills just south of Lake Superior. And my guest today, State Senator Bob Jauch, a Democrat from Superior, and Assembly Republican Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst. Well, we were just talking about jobs before the break, and this is a good segue. Proponents of this mine say good jobs and the economic future of the area are at stake. Opponents say the bill would shortcut the environmental review process and could cause significant damage to a very pristine natural area. We will play several clips of testimony from the public hearing that took place on this subject last week in Hurley. We're going to start with the governor's Treasury Secretary, Kurt Schuller, making the case for the mine.
The people in Wisconsin are crying for jobs. The people of Ashland and Iron County and this neck of the woods are dying for jobs. Today, we're sitting in Iron County, a county that lost nearly 14% of its population between 2000 and 2010. AB 426 holds the cure. And we as public officials have a responsible to do everything in our power to foster job creation for the people of northern Wisconsin. AB 426 provides common sense regulatory reform, which would allow for the development of thousands of jobs in the Northland and Wisconsin as a whole. Now is not the time for obstruction. I've heard many of the misnomers shot down here today about the environmental impact. I do trust the DNR. I do trust the Army Corps of Air and Engineers. And I do trust the EPA that they will not permit this process unless they regard it as we can do this. We can do this mine safely, and we can mitigate any pollution or harm to the area.
That's Kurt Schuller, the governor's treasury secretary, speaking at the public hearing on the proposed new mining law. Bob Jauch, would the EPA, the DNR, and the Army Corps of Engineers still have significant input in this mine? And if so, are environmental concerns misplaced?
Let us, first of all, summarize a couple of problems. One, we're having the wrong debate. The debate's really been, do you want mining or don't you like mining? Does mining create jobs? Does it, is it environmentally harmful? The legislature, should be reviewing the legislation to determine a process as to, how a mining permit will be, considered. That's the issue here. And the question is, if you want responsible mining, and I have been in favor of responsible mining, that's in the eyes of the beholder, I know, then you want a responsible mining law. There are most of the people who testified who support mining testified in opposition to this piece of legislation because they felt the bill is significantly flawed in many, many ways. Wisconsin, there are many myths about the issue. It's controversial, but it's complicated. And many of the myths are being perpetuated by oversimplifying the debate down to it's jobs, jobs, jobs. The simple fact is that you want to do it right and responsibly. The last mine in Wisconsin was the Ladysmith mine. It was permitted in 2.5 years, not 7 years. The Crandon mine went for 9 years and was eventually never got a permit. Not because of the regulatory process, but because it was a bad application, a bad project, and the company made serious mistakes. The last mine project in Minnesota, expansion project, took 2 years. We really need to look at the Minnesota experience and use their best practices in having a process that works very well, and it will take, but this bill does not do it. This bill doesn't look like Minnesota. It certainly doesn't look like Wisconsin. The Corps of Engineers has already said that they will have to do their own separate environmental impact statement, which means it will take longer. It's unrealistic, and timelines ought to be included. We ought to use them like Minnesota. You can do this in approximately 2 years from the time that the application has made, but you don't have to change the environmental standards that are included in this legislation.
Tom Tiffany, your response?
First of all, I just want to correct one thing. Kurt Schuller is a constitutionally elected officer. He is not the governor's treasurer. That is a constitutionally elected position. And just a technical.
But he is a Republican. His opinions on this topic are in line with the governor's, are they not?
I don't know about that, but those are his own opinions. He's a constitutionally elected officer. And he's absolutely right about, you know, in terms of some of the comments he made about the loss of population in northern Wisconsin. It's pretty interesting. You look at the census data from the last 10 years, and northern Wisconsin, all the assembly districts in northern Wisconsin have lost population in the last 10 years. A very serious problem. People see that there's a lack of opportunity, and that's part of the reason to bring this forth. And The economic side of this is a very important part of this. I mean, there's going to be up to 3,000 construction jobs created. There's looks like there'll be about 700 jobs created permanently for perhaps up to 100 years, certainly for the first 35 years in the first part of the of mining, that part of the Gogebic Range, but that could be up for 100 years. And then you have the ripple effect throughout Wisconsin, all the way down to Milwaukee, where you have mining equipment manufacturers, that some of the leading global mining manufacturers are right here in Wisconsin. They're going to get work on this. They're going to get this work also. And to the Minnesota, let's go back to the beginning for the rationale, to talk about the rationale for this bill. Iron mining is different than sulfide mining. When you mine for copper, zinc, gold, things like that, that's sulfide mining. They use chemicals to break the ore from the rock. Iron mining does not require chemicals. It's a mechanical process. There are magnets in machines that a slurry goes through, and the iron is separated from the rock.
Tom, I need to move to Bob Jouk, because, Bob, we've got 45 seconds here before our break. This first
we need to get
quickly
focused on the bill. And he continues to talk about jobs. We don't know if this company is ever going to mine this project, even if this legislation were to pass. But if you do a comparison between what's in this bill, a very flawed bill that was written behind closed doors, and you look at Minnesota, it doesn't look like Minnesota's law at all. And if we're going to have a responsible mining, we need responsible mining legislation, and it should look like the state that does more iron ore mining than any other state in the nation.
Senator
I
Bob Jouk,
defend
Bob,
some of these provisions that aren't
Bob, we got a Bob, we got a break for the news. Senator Bob Jouk, Democrat from Superior, on the phone. Tom Tiffany, Republican from Hazelhurst, in our studio. I'm Glenn Mobrick. Don and Wassa will get to you right after the break. This is Route 51.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
We're back on Route 51, Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Mobrick. The subject today, AB 426, the bill that would speed up the permitting process for iron mines in Wisconsin and could pave the way for a big iron mine in the Pinoki Hills in Ashland and Iron Counties south of Lake Superior. Republican Assemblyman Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst in our studio, and State Senator, Democrat Bob Jouk from Superior on the phone, and we will be taking your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. Tom Tiffany, when we went to the break, Bob Jouk was talking about the Minnesota model and how we differ from it.
Yeah, if I can just go back to the genesis of this bill. It's iron mining is a different process than sulfide mining for like copper, gold, zinc, those type of minerals. Iron mining uses a mechanical process. It does not use a chemical process like sulfide mining. So we thought it warranted having a separate bill. And by the way, this does not change our mining laws for sulfide mining. It doesn't change it anyway. This is specifically for iron ore mining. And we went to my staff did a fabulous job on this bill. We got involved last summer, and we wanted to look at this from all angles. I mean, we've had all types of groups, and we've talked to the DNR, we've talked to the company, we've talked to locals. I've met with Clean Wisconsin, an environmental group. I've met with all different types of people. And one of the groups we talked to was the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. And we asked them, does it warrant having a separate bill for iron ore mining? And they said, yes, we do have some separate statutes for iron ore mining. They said, yeah, we believe that's so. And one of the things that comes up with iron mining is that you need to know what's in the overburden over that iron ore deposit. And they call that waste characterization, finding out what is in there. You need to make sure that there isn't some bad stuff in there and all the rest. And we went back to our legislative council after talking to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and we asked them, do we have a good process? And their words from the legislative council, which advises us in the legislature, Republicans and Democrats, they're nonpartisan, they said Wisconsin's bill has a complete waste characterization, a more complete waste characterization process than either Wisconsin or Michigan's law, or excuse me, than either Minnesota or Michigan's law. So we think there's been time put into this bill and really a rigorous process that's gone on to create a good bill.
Bob Jauch, your response?
Well, let's look at Minnesota. Minnesota has a ferrous mining law. By the way, they're now in year six on a sulfide mine. But let's talk about the disparity between what's in this bill and what's in Minnesota. For some reason, the Republican authors believed that they wanted to cap the amount of money that the company will pay to $1.1 million, which could mean that the taxpayers will end up subsidizing this $1.8 billion investment by the tune of $5 to $7 million. No other major developer gets their application subsidized, and I don't think the taxpayers are going to want to subsidize. So there needs to be a justification as to why that cap was in there and how $1.1 million was set, when in fact that won't even cover the cost of an environmental impact statement. Number two, the Corps of Engineers has already said that the 360-day period to finish the work is unrealistic. It may take that or another half a year just to do the environmental impact statement. In Minnesota, the last mine took 2 years. And so if Tom spent some time looking at Minnesota, he should be borrowing their best practices. This bill mutes the public voice, cuts back public hearings from 3 to 1, and eliminates for mining-only contested case, which provides for legal challenges on the issues. Minnesota has contested case. Michigan has contested case. This bill undercut local governments who were expecting to get the in lieu of taxes from the company to be able to pay for infrastructural costs and adjust to the cost of the project. This bill said that the locals get 50% and the state will get 50% on a net proceeds tax, which, by the way, it's 50% of nothing because the company can write down what they owe these local governments. Minnesota has a straight tonnage tax in which money goes directly to communities, schools, helps taxpayers, and it also creates a diversification fund.
Okay,
so
Bob,
if we're going to use Minnesota, then we ought to. Then this bill ought to look like it, and it doesn't at all.
Bob Jauch, thanks so much. A number of things there, Tom Tiffany. First of all, why the 50-50 split in tax revenue? Why shouldn't the local communities get 100% instead of 50% going to the state? And also the implication in what Bob Jauch just said, which was also made by Glenn Stoddard, an attorney for the Bad River Band, who said the bill was written for just one company, Kagebic Taconite. Is that a valid criticism?
To your latter point, no, I don't think that's a valid criticism. We looked at this in terms of a mining applicant generally. I mean, this bill does not permit a mine. What it does is set the process in place to be able to apply for a permit and then have that reviewed, and then the Department of Natural Resources gives you an answer, yes or no. And
why the 50-50 split? Why not give all the tax revenue to the local communities that have to deal with the impact of the mine?
Well, first of all, there's going to be enormous revenues that are going to be spun off from that. But I would say, you know, if Senator Jauch wants to change a couple of those things in the bill's been out there for a month, he should make those recommendations. I would also ask him where he came up with the figure of $5 to $7 million that it's going to cost the Department of Natural Resources. Because
that's the Department of Natural Resources, Governor Walker's own agency, that wrote the fiscal note that's attached to the bill. And they said for a major mine, and this is a major mine project, it's going to be a 1,000-foot hole, cost could get up to as high as $7 million.
Let's
could get as high. I just want to address a couple points here real quick. Could get as high. Let's deal with that. Let's deal with that part of it. I hope the senator gets engaged on this, and let's make the bill better. That's what the process is all about. And if we can pass this in.
Let me just correct something here.
Hold it. Senator, you can't be stepping on me.
Facts, not make them up. I called for a Legislative Council Study Committee back in May, in June, when I thought it was important to have a transparent and open deliberative process. Instead, your colleagues decided to write a bill behind closed doors. We don't know who the author is. We don't know whose idea it was to undercut local governments. We don't know whose idea it was to cap the amount of money that the company would have to pay. We don't know whose idea it was that would include a provision that may make the water withdrawal a violation of the Great Lakes Water Compact. And so we had a public discussion instead of talking about the importance of the project. We could have a bill in which there is an agreement.
Senator, let's give Tom Tiffany a chance to respond. Mr. Tiffany?
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, Glenn. Couple points that were made over the last few minutes by the senator. He said it's 360 days, the permitting process. That's actually not accurate. It'll take a minimum of 2+ years to be able to go through the permitting process because there's a 12-month period that a company files a pre-application notice that allows the Department of Natural Resources to ramp up, and then it's 360 days following that. Part of what the Corps of Engineers was saying there is that if this is only a 360-day process, we're not sure we can meet it, and that's correct. But it's not a 360-day process. It's 2+ years. If you look at the bill, it's in there. Two public hearings. You said it goes from 3 public hearings to 1. That's not accurate. There's 2 public hearings, and there can be more. If the DNR believes there needs to be more hearings, they can do that. And I think Senator Jauch is correct in regards to some of the reimbursement to local communities. One oversight that I saw in the bill that I expect to see an amendment was the $50,000 that should be paid to the local municipalities that are within the mine footprint. And I expect next week when the amendment comes out of the committee that that's going to be in there.
Don in Wausau has been waiting since the beginning of the program. Don, you're on Route 51 with Bob Jauch and Tom Tiffany.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm 61 years old. I'm retired. I grew up in Superior. I sailed on an iron ore boat through the Great Lakes back in the, I believe, 69 or 70. And I've seen what can happen, especially in the Great Lakes area. And my main concern is, it sounds like this is a short-term solution to a long-term problem. Because once you guys ruin the environment that's up there, you can't guarantee that you won't pollute Lake Superior. That's what worries me the most. I've lived up there, drank the water, I've sailed, I've slept out on the lake. I know what that area is like. Mr. Tiffany, have you ever been there for longer than a day or two at a time?
Yes.
Do you know what can happen if this bill goes through too fast and we don't save what is there to be saved?
One of the things that this bill does is it says if there's any conflict between mining law and other environmental law, this bill trumps other mining, law. It is in violation of the Great Lakes Water Compact, and I would hope that the Assembly would see that and fix it. I don't know why that provision was in there. It's probably in conflict with our Wisconsin State Constitution, which has the public trust document in the way in which it allows them to destroy rivers and streams. There are a number of environmental standards that are changed in this bill that don't have to in order to streamline the process. If we follow Minnesota's practices, you can have an 80-page bill that improves the timelines, provides predictability and certainty, but you do not have to change the environmental standards that are included in this bill.
Don, thanks so much for the phone call. Tom Tiffany, your response to Don's comments and Senator Jauch's.
Yeah, I appreciate Don's question there. And I certainly share his concerns, and we have implemented them into AB 426 to be able to make sure that we have good, rigorous environmental standards in there. And, in fact, I believe we've learned from Minnesota's experience from decades ago when they did have some problems with leachate at the Dunca mine. That was a serious problem over there. It was the reserve mining case. I remember growing up on the west side of the state and hearing about it in the Twin Cities media when that happened back in the 70s. Well, what I referred to earlier as the waste characterization process to to study what's in that overburden. That's in this bill. And legislative counsel has said to us, you're doing a good job of identifying that waste characterization process. We do not compromise any air standards here. You do have to change some water standards in terms of there are wetlands. I mean, this is a 4,000-acre ore body. You can't move the ore body. So there does have to be some things done in regards to wetlands, but we do not compromise water standards of the water that will be emitted back into the system by the mining company, and the air standards are not compromised in any
way. Well, Tom, a group that disagrees with you are a number of the American Indian tribes that live in the region. They have condemned the mine and the bill. Members of the Bad River, Red Cliff, and Lac du Flambeau bands were at that hearing, which you were at, correct, by the Assembly Committee on Jobs, Economy, and Small Business?
Yes.
Tom Molson, the president of the Lac du Flambeau Band of Chippewa, said, quote, environmentally, this bill is a disaster. Page after page of deregulation giving a boom and bust industry free rein to rape the environment. Those are his words. Here's Mr. Molson and Mike Wiggins, the chair of the Bad River Tribe, at the hearing in Hurley.
We will decide. We have the right in the treaty areas. So that's something that you got to take home to your tables. It's not a threat. It's a promise. We're going to be talking about that. Miigwech.
We recognize some of the things in here as being unbelievable threats to us and what we stand and live for. And ultimately, we're willing to go to the mat.
We need to sit down and talk, you and I. I mean, it ain't like it rubs off, I can tell you. My wife's white. She's still white. So we just need to work together.
Now, the tribal leaders were admonished by Republican State Representative Amy Loudenbeck at that hearing. Here are her words, followed by a retort by Red Cliff Tribal Elder Tony DePerry.
On one hand, you're coming here and you're asking us to include you in the process, and then on another hand, we go through these, you're up, you're down. It's not a game. So have a little respect. I respect everything that you've said.
Now you tell us that we're nothing? Excuse me, modern society, I think you got to wake up. Because, hold and behold, this is not 1760, 1824, 1832, 1854. This is 2012.
And we received an email from Ed in Wausau who has these questions on the same subject. What is the status of treaty rights here? Is the state trying to override tribal rights? And how can the Assembly protect the waters of the state as outlined in what Ed calls the trust doctrine? Bob Jock, let's start with you, and then we'll go to Tom Tiffany.
I think it's in violation of the trust doctrine, and as I continually emphasize, you compare Minnesota's mining law and with this bill, the two don't look the same. And Minnesota doesn't give them the right to change rivers and streams. Minnesota protects their wetlands and environmental standards and policies are equal to apply to mining as they are to any other project in the state. This bill creates shortcuts for specifically this mining company and this project, and it doesn't have to happen. If the issue is streamlining, beginning of this show, Tom talked about the need to streamline the process. He hasn't talked about streamlining. By the way, the bill says that they're given 360 days after the company submits their application for a mining permit. It will take longer than 360 days to do an environmental impact statement. So that is nothing more than a fictitious number thrown in there that doesn't mean anything. In Minnesota, they are given 600 days from the applicant's submission of the worksheet and for the permit.
Senator,
I think that's going to be a question that is tested in the courts. The question really is that now Bad River has been given authority by the federal government to regulate water quality, establish water quality standards. They will also have air quality standards. So it will be essential to cooperate with the tribes because their approval is going to be pivotal.
Tom Tiffany, how much of a threat is the tribal opposition to the passage of this bill and its eventual implementation?
The senator is correct. They have authority as treatment as a state, so they are viewed as on the same par as the state of Wisconsin in terms of water quality. They receive that from the EPA. So, you know, that'll absolutely be an issue. One inaccuracy here that the senator just gave us was that the 360 days is not enough for permitting. We met with the Department of Natural Resources. I met with, and this is not a political appointee. This is a career public servant who said that we can do this permitting process in 360 days. But remember, there's a 12-month period before then of pre-application that a lot of work gets done. She said, we can get this done in 360 days.
The environmental impact statement has to be complete before the Department of Natural Resources can review the permit. That's going to take over 360 days. Then there will be another 180 to 240 days that the department will be able to use to review the permit. So,
Senator, let's let Mr. Tiffany respond.
If you look at the bill closely, there's an environmental impact report created by the company. And, yes, it may take more than 12 months. Once they file a pre-application, a mining applicant, when they file a pre-application, they have at 12 months before they can file their permit. Now, they can take longer if they want to, but then they file their application. Then the DNR creates the environmental impact statement off from that environmental impact report, minimum of 2 years plus to go through this process.
This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Please want to squeeze in another telephone call here if we can. From Matt in Wausau, who has been waiting patiently. Matt, you're on Route 51 with Bob Jauch and Tom Tiffany.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Good evening.
Number one, I was up in Hurley, and I listened to everything. And the thing that I took from that was the fact that people up there aren't opposed to mining. They're opposed to this bill. The bill is not good for Wisconsin. What I took from it was we need to do a little bit more on the environmental side to keep us all healthy and to keep fresh water.
Matt, I want you to hold it there because we're quickly running out of time, and I'm sorry that I have to cut you off, but it's a good segue, what you just said, to comments by Iron County Board Member Larry Youngs of Hurley. His comments seem to reflect what Matt just said and also embody the mixed feelings that people have. Youngs wants to see the mine happen. He says the area needs the jobs. He's a former miner himself, but he also wants to protect the environment, and he hopes that AB 426 can be changed so that all sides can agree on the provisions of a reworked bill.
I work in open pit nines now, but I did work in White Pine Mines building weeda walls right down where they were drilling. So I had lunch with the devil a few times. He's right down in there. And I just think that I'm for the mine, but I'm not against the tribe. I think they have their reasons and we have ours. I don't want to see any conflict between us. We all live here. And before this mining thing came, most people didn't even know we existed, North Highway 8. I mean, usually people were never here before.
Oh, yes, I was. My son went to college here. Gotcha.
Okay. I just think that there's some things in this bill that could be changed that we all could agree and we all could come into agreements with. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for this community. We've been hurting for a long time. I mean, I could take you down where the mines are, where the iron ore things are. There used to be a pipe ran right into Montreal River. And we drank it, and there's no three-eyed horny toads or nothing running around here.
We are down to our last minute, gentlemen. Bob Jauch, why don't you start, then we'll go to you, Tom Tiffany.
Well, I think Matt was absolutely correct that a large percentage of people in northern Wisconsin support mining, but they want it done right. If they're going to have responsible mining, you need a responsible mining law. Second of all, there needs to be a lot more public discussion about the bill and less talk about the jobs if we are going to get this consensus that speaker is seeking. It is possible to have an agreement on the issue of streamlining, creating timelines that work. It is possible to have a process that is provides predictability and certainty, and will speed up the process. I'm in agreement with that. I'm working for that, but you don't need to include 100 pages of changes to environmental standards because those aren't justified, aren't necessary, and will be harmful to Wisconsin.
Bob Jauch, thanks so much for being with us. Tom Tiffany, you've got the last word.
Well, thank you. Yeah, this upholds Wisconsin's stringent environmental standards. This bill does not compromise that, and it allows us to have certainty in the process of giving a mining permit. And this bill does not issue a permit. The Department of Natural Resources, representing the people of the state of Wisconsin, is going to put this through a rigorous process, the permit, and decide whether this iron mine should be done or not. And it will be great for the people of the state of Wisconsin. Are we going to produce things here in this state and in this country, or are we going to do it all overseas?
We want to thank today's guests here in our studio, Republican Assemblyman Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst, on the phone, Democratic State Senator Bob Jauch of Superior. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producers, Crystal Bennis and Jane Ritger. Special thanks to Wisconsin Public Radio's own Mike Simonson for his help on this program. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we are heading out of town.